ready.
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. Here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. 23 left.
Where? 1, 2, 3.
It's time for the postgame show with Schoep and the Bulldog.
Hi there and happy new year. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The Bills wrap up their 2025 regular season with a 35-8 romp over the Jets. They go to 12-5. They will be the sixth seed in the AFC playoffs and almost definitely be heading to Jacksonville at some point next weekend. We don't know the date or time yet. But it's probably the stadium that's on most listeners' minds right now. Bulldog, maybe not the game where people rushed out of their seats to listen to the beginning of our show for once.
Yeah, no, I would think if you went to this game and saw how it was going, you probably made a decision that you were going to stay there maybe long after zeros were on the clock to enjoy, you know, just all of it, you know? I mean, heck, when I go to major league ballparks that aren't closing that I have no emotional attachment to and I find myself wanting to sit there and just sort of take it in because I don't know if I'll ever be there again, well, here's your opportunity to do that as a Bills fan.
Do we want to hear from Mitch Trubisky?
I believe we do.
Okay. Somebody did not want us to hear from Mitch Trubisky.
Yes, I didn't know if we were obligated to run that, so I said yes quickly, but as it turns out, maybe I won't have much of a choice.
I'm sure there'll be a meeting in the next year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the stadium, for sure, as I was saying, is the thing. I mean, you know, you got – I don't know what everyone would have been hoping for when you walked in there, knowing what had happened, you know, in the 1 o'clock games and what you had to gain and not gain. You know, you knew the 5 was off the table by the time this game kicked off.
Close, though.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, Indianapolis really, really gave it a go there, and that would have been really interesting. You know, this game's kicking off, and in my head I'm thinking, I'd rather lose and go to New England than go to Jacksonville. And I know that everyone won't agree with that, but that was my view. Then the game started, and, like, the next thing I said or the next thing I thought was, I don't think there's a way they could lose this game.
Oh my gosh.
I just don't think there was a way that you could lose to that Jet team today. So,
if you literally took the snap, I'm not sure if Trubisky will get this question. We'll never know. If he literally took the snap and put the ball on the field, would the Jets have picked it up?
I don't know.
It's the worst team I think I've ever seen.
I agree. I mean, my thoughts on this was, you know, send off for the stadium. I hope everyone had fun. The uniforms looked great. The helmets. I think I forgot how good the Red Sox would look with the red helmets.
Red Sox. You love your Red Sox.
Everything looked great. And the only other thought I had was the league should step in and force the Jets to fire Aaron Glenn if they're not going to. Because that's the deadest team walking I've ever seen amongst a lifetime of, you know, a drought-filled lifetime of doing these shows of dead teams walking. The Jets were DOA at 425.
If you were a first-year head coach, an accomplished defensive coordinator, I don't want to make this about the Jets for long, but let me just say this once. And in your playing days were a shutdown corner. Can you imagine your team not having one interception for the entire season?
No.
It's never happened in the history of the league. They had 4 takeaways for the year. Like, they just don't want to play. So I don't know how much worse you could do as a coach. You know, of course the announcers are going to apologize for him and talk about how they don't have good players. You just can't look any worse than that. And last week might have been worse than this week for them. So thanks for being a part of it. The last points in Highmark Stadium history, a 2-point conversion to Quentin Skinner. Get your game up for trivia.
Well, maybe real quick, I'll just say this once, because I also don't want to make this about the New York Jets. The stadium is being celebrated. I don't know, maybe Aaron Glenn and the players were following orders. You know, maybe they wanted to lose and get the best draft pick they could. I don't know.
No way.
That was an awful performance.
No way, right? Though, like, players never do that.
Right, of course.
Players never do that. The Giants can't stop winning. So the Bills close Highmark Stadium with an all-time regular season record of 247-163. Today, their 247th regular season win there. I thought that whether this is a credit to the broadcast or just because of how I'm sort of feeling about today, it came across well. the end of the stadium and the significance of today from that standpoint. I thought it came across well. I didn't go to the game, but I think especially maybe it's easier when it's a blowout.
Yeah.
Where you can really just sort of, I mean, some broadcasts nowadays just want to look at the fans all the time anyway. But today would be the day to do it because the fans are feeling sentimental about it, you know, many of them at least. So I thought it came across well.
I agree, and it might be the kind of thing where, you know, it was early enough in the game, but still, the stake in the game was not so large. Like, let's bring Steve Tasker in to reminisce with us here and talk about the stadium, and that's not something you usually get in a regular season NFL game, but this game allowed for it. You know, if we were more tense about the stake, like if they were still racing with New England for the division or even the one seed or whatever, you know, whatever a large enough stake would be, maybe stuff like that would be probably not even considered a part of the broadcast because it would just be in the way. And like, what are you doing? You've got a dramatic event unfolding here. This really was absent of any drama.
I think it's official that the Bills are going to Jacksonville. The one game left is Chargers Broncos, and Denver leads 19-3 with 30 seconds. Well, 19-9, 30 seconds left. The Chargers may have just scored. Denver has this game. I don't even think it matters. Like if the Chargers were to somehow win this game, they would go to the 6, but Denver would move to the 3 and Jacksonville would move to the 2. So I think the Bills are going to Jacksonville definitely. And that could be Saturday afternoon. I don't think it'll be Monday night.
I don't think so either. Don't they usually like that to be a 4-5?
Yep.
Right, so that'll probably be reserved. Well, I don't know, maybe on the NFC side, but you know, AFC side, it'll be, you know, the winner of this game tonight between the Steelers and Ravens, and the Texans, who nailed down the 5 by squeezing out that game against Indianapolis.
Oh,
I don't know. I look forward to talking about that with you during the week. Or, well, we won't get to talk about it during the week because it'll happen tonight. We'll know. But my guess is it's a good spot, like not Saturday afternoon, because Josh Allen, depending on if Lamar gets in or Aaron Rodgers, I guess, too, like Josh Allen's the biggest star in the AFC bracket, and I don't think they're going to put him at 4:30 on a Saturday, but that's just my guess.
My guess would be that it would be on Saturday, maybe Saturday night.
Yeah, I like Saturday night much more than Saturday at 4:30.
One thing you have is 3 West Coast teams traveling east, and Chargers at New England seems almost cruel for Saturday afternoon to the Chargers who are playing now. The Niners will be one of these games at Carolina. And that to me would be a Saturday game. And then the Rams, who will be the it's the Rams at Carolina, right? They're the 5. Yes, sorry. Rams at Carolina is a game. San Francisco at Philadelphia will be a game. And that's a Sunday late.
Yeah.
Sunday afternoon, Sunday night special right there. So I kind of think
you make a good point about the afternoon and the West Coast. That could be a reason that Buffalo ends up in that earlier window.
My guess would be the Bills would play on Saturday because it's the 2 smallest markets in the NFL, too. I mean, as big a star as Allen is. So I feel like New England is a better – it's just guessing. I don't want to waste any more time on it. But Sunday at 1, and then you have a couple of Green Bay, Chicago, San Fran, Philadelphia. I mean – big ones on Sunday. They're all big. Let's get you the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. Josh Allen, just like last year, 1 play. It's a handoff, so no stats. James Cook, 15 rushing yards on 2 carries right away. Bam, bam. He ends the season 1,621 rushing yards by my count. He will win the rushing title unless Derrick Henry goes for 152 or more.
The rest of the stats, we briefly heard from Mitchell Trubisky. I guess technical difficulties prevented us from bringing you more of that.
Wink, wink.
He goes 22 of 29. Somebody pulled the plug. 22 of 29 passing for 259 and 4 touchdowns. One of those each to Gabriel Davis, Dawson Knox, Ray Davis, and Ty Johnson. Johnson got in the end zone on a rush as well to earn himself a bonus. Ray Davis led the way on the ground, 22 carries, 151 yards. You mentioned Cook's total there. Coleman, 2 catches for 49 yards. I gave you the receiving touchdowns. Do you want the Jets stats? 11 for 22, 60 yards for Brady Cook. That's it. I'm done.
Denver wins 19-3. So everything is done in the Sunday afternoon window. The only game left is tonight's game. There's no game tomorrow. Pittsburgh-Baltimore. The winner gets the 4 seed in the AFC North title and will face the Texans next weekend, I think probably on the Monday night. And then the loser's out. That's what's left. The Bills over the Jets, easily. 35-8 is the final. We'll look for your calls as we continue here on postgame coverage. 803-0550 here in the 716 area code. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The first response from the fans coming up. Brought to you by ServPro Cleaning, Restoration, and Construction. Like it never even happened. Get your quote now at servpro.com. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Fakes the handoff, rolls right, has Ray Davis reaching for the end zone, and he spun into the end zone for the touchdown. Ray Davis with his second receiving touchdown of the season, and the Bills are cooking up 20-0 with an extra point pending.
One of four Mitchell Trubisky touchdown passes on the day. Eye on the Quarterback is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. Quickly, Trubisky again, 22 of 29 for 259 in those four touchdowns.
Week one starter somewhere, 50-50, worse.
Did I hear that we've got McDermott?
Yes.
Okay,
so you want time
to
think
Sean
about
McDermott
it?
Here.
You want to think about it. Okay, fine. Here's Sean McDermott.
Means a lot to me and our team, and had a chance to get over here last night, met some of the workers. Pretty special people, you know, hearing their stories coming from all over Texas. One of the guys I met worked at Harvard and yet showed up as a Bills fan to help shovel the stadium out, which is pretty cool. Really appreciate that. And again, great to get a win. Now looking forward to getting ready for the playoffs here. So with that, I'll take your questions.
Sean, as the send-off goes, for what could be the last, very well last game here, the celebratory feel to that game with this, you know, and to win the way you did, what did that mean to you?
Yeah, it was important. You know, I said it last week at the beginning of the week, and this game was important to us as an organization. It was important to me as a coach. It was important to us as a staff, important to the players, and I really appreciate them taking it that way in their approach. And you know, when you have, it was a delicate balance, as you guys saw, of hey, the health of some of the players, keeping other players managed in terms of their rep counts, and giving some young guys opportunities and some new guys who have joined us opportunities to play, so we could see what they bring to the table. And so it was a little bit of a challenge during the week, but I thought the staff did a phenomenal job, as did the players, really focusing in on, you know, our standard and how we play, and it showed up, you know, on the field early. So, you know, I tip my cap to those guys and the way that they prepared and came out ready to play.
Did you have a chance to look back at the crowd?
Oh yeah.
They didn't leave. They didn't. Yeah. I mean, they stayed through this game. What was your feelings that way?
I mean, I felt a little guilty at times looking up in the stands. I'm supposed to be coaching, you know, but. I guess I haven't done that a lot, just because you're so focused trying to do your job. And but when we got to a spot where in the fourth quarter, after scoring and we were getting our kickoff team ready, just taking a second or two to look up into the stands, people singing Mr. Brightside, and I mean, come on, where else does that happen in the NFL, right? That type of togetherness, that type of fellowship, community, love, you know, of their team and of each other, and I'll never forget it. Special moment.
A couple of downsides, it looked like, with Prater and maybe Max. Do you know anything? And Max seems like it's a significant thing if you didn't let him kick anymore.
Yeah, you know, it happens in the second quarter, so we started putting a plan into place, and then we get in at halftime, and we're told he can't go at all. So, we'll have to see what it looks like tomorrow. I'm sure they'll get some films of it, and we'll know a little bit more. But, unfortunate.
What happened with Max? Looked like an ankle?
Yeah, a little bit of an ankle. You know, really would have preferred not to have one of he or Trey out there. But we were in a situation where we were out of ups and didn't have another corner to go to on the active, you know, at that point. So I think Dane's practice squad, yeah. So we were out of practice squad ups. We had two already being used, and so it's unfortunate there. But we'll see where it goes here.
Were you aware at all about the Houston game and the possibility of, if they had lost, you could have gotten to the fifth seed? I mean, before the game,
yeah.
Were you at least paying attention or even wondering what was going on there?
Oh yeah, yeah. I had it on in my locker. Yeah, I was aware. So, yeah.
How tough was the James Cook decision and kind of with trying to get him the rushing title, but he's such a key part of what you want to do going forward?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if he got hurt, you know, people would probably not let me walk. They'd make me walk home or burn my car. I don't know, you know. But that's the, you know, that was part of the give and take of the week of, okay, how long do we go? I gave him a quarter. As I told Joe during the week, I was like, all right, he's going to have a quarter and no more. And then after, as I got closer and closer to the game, I'm like, nah, quarter's too much. So I'm probably not a great gambler in the casinos, but it helped when we knew what Jonathan Taylor in the afternoon he had. But we also wanted to know where, in terms of tonight's game, where that could go. And felt like it was, I still pray that, you know, he wins it, he deserves it. Felt like we could get him to, you know, 150, somewhere in 150 in terms of the spread between him and Derrick Henry, and we'll see. Did the best we could and trying to be fair to James and yet take care and fair to the team as well. So,
Sean, what's the transition like mentally for you going from this, you know, the celebration, as you said, understanding it, what it meant to the community, to the fans community, and where your head was with that, knowing coming up next is the, you know, the be all end all of playoffs. Yeah. So how have you transitioned?
Already there, you know, honestly, already there, Vic. That's what we do. That's who I am in terms of, my wife would tell you, I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing things. So, yeah, that's where my head is already right now. Is ready to put in the work to get ourselves ready to go to play our best football. That's what this time of year. That's what it takes. You can't beat yourself. You got to play good, solid football, and you know, we'll have a big challenge ahead of us here.
Talk about a lot of last times at this stadium. I know, like, I hear people saying last time before the locker room. I've heard some of that talk. Is it possible you use this? I mean, for the practice and stuff, you guys still play outside? Would you practice in the stadium?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. My mind is
not for Jacksonville.
Yeah, no, my mind is not there right now. It's a interesting thought, Tim. So possibly, I don't know. I mean, my mind is focused on putting in the work for this next game here. So.
Sean, is the hat an ode to Marv?
Yes. Appreciate Jeff Mazurek, our equipment guy, and his staff do a great job. And it was in my locker. Jeff shot me a picture of it last night, and it was pretty cool, you know. So I want to make sure I honor Coach Levy. He's been great to me. What a class act. Everybody knows, you know, all Buffalonians and Bills fans know him. And it's really special when, and I think I've said this before, when a coach who is a true legend is also a class act and has been very, very generous to me, has shared, you know, wisdom with me over the years. His family's embraced me and my family, and I hold him in high regard, and his entire family are just true class people.
Why was it important to get Dalton Kincaid some action?
Well, he hadn't played in a little bit and had been kind of, you know, practicing, not practicing. You guys are aware. We talk about that almost every day. So I thought it was important that we got him going a little bit, but not too much to where he was too sore to come back and practice this past week. So just some momentum, some wind at his back a little bit here. I thought that was important for him, and he did a good job. Loved him. Yeah, I loved him. Yeah.
See him again?
Will we see them again? I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. That's a private question for. for ownership. I don't know.
Did you get a chance at any point this weekend to hang out with some of the, you know, Jim and all the guys who were here? Did you?
I saw Jim and Anthony Brown's pharmacy on Friday night. You think I'm lying? I did. I was picking up something, and I hear Jim's voice at the cash. This is a true story. Cash register, and it's like 6 o'clock on Friday evening, and I walk up, and Jim was there, and so we shared a couple minutes of a conversation, and it was good to see him. And then I see you know Steve every day, and then I saw Andre before the game, met his son, and so I mean it's really special that those guys are all, you know, most of them are around quite a bit, and but in the community, and they're awesome. They've been so supportive of us, what we do, how we do things, and appreciative of the way we go about handling things. So it's been great. It's been a great partnership.
Coach, how can you reflect on your first game here as head coach to this final one here at Heimer?
Probably a little less hair, maybe, than I had then. The way I remember it, it was a full head of hair back then. I don't know what you guys saw, but that was a joke.
I got something.
That was a joke, yeah. No, I mean, it's, you know, what 9 seasons does to you, what the lessons you learn as a coach, but also the lessons you learn as a man, the way you develop gratitude, the way I've developed gratitude for so many things over the years, and maybe that's just the journey of life, right? And even tonight, like, you know, taking the time, like I said, I did to maybe get outside of my job for a second to appreciate and take in the moments of watching the fans doesn't happen, you know, all the, you know, everywhere, or that's a once in a lifetime. Like I said, that's not coach speak. It's, you don't get an opportunity like that a lot, especially when you're down the sideline trying to do a good job. So yeah, and you just learn over the years, and you appreciate things, I think, more and more, because life moves fast.
As you've kind of turned now, you mentioned already being kind of in playoff mode as the sixth seed, is there a mentality that you have to kind of cultivate this week to prepare for what you guys have to set out to try to do on the road the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we're going to have to be a tough football team. That's where it starts, and you can't beat yourself. So there's more to it than that, but it's an important week for us here, obviously, and we've got a lot of work to do, and got to check the injury report because we got some injuries popped up again here. So I think that's the first step to know who's available for us. That'll be a first thing tomorrow morning, item on the to-do list here. All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Sean McDermott sharing his feelings and emotions as the Bills draw Highmark Stadium to a likely close, certainly for the regular season. McDermott in his career, this is all games, regular season games, 98-50. Man, imagine knowing when he walked in the door that he'd win 2 out of 3 games for 9 years.
Right.
Unbelievable. Really, if you go back, there's a lot of that in the air today. Bills over the Jets in a breeze, 35-8. Did you have enough time to think about whether you think Trubisky will be starting somewhere next year? Was that long enough?
I'm still going to say no, but he is a free agent. So the Bills are going to need it. They're going to need to either bring him back or find somebody else. But
I'll say no too, but I think he's an interesting compromise for a team that has a rookie.
Yeah.
Somebody
he
to
could
sort
show
of
show up somewhere, and I don't know, is there a Daniel Jones outcome out there for him somewhere if he gets to the right spot? I mean, I don't know.
I would say he probably would be mocked as an idea no more than Jones was.
Right.
And that guy was 8-2.
And because Jones has happened, that will temper perhaps the mocking.
Yeah.
Because now we'll all have to go, well, I don't know. You know, it's happened, and it's happened. You know, Daniel Jones is just the most recent example. There are others. Sam Darnold has won 14 games in a row for a second consecutive season with different teams, by the way, if you want him.
Crazy. Yeah. Maybe unprecedented. Did McDermott seem annoyed to you when he mentioned how he couldn't have one more cornerback today?
I'm not sure if that's annoyed or just like the circumstances. I mean, you can only do so much, right? You want to protect your offensive line, so you're going to try to call up guys there. And so, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, it was tough. I mean, I know a lot of fans were probably thinking the same thing I was thinking, just why is he even out there? And then you look at the depth chart again and go, okay, yeah, I guess, yeah. Like, he's the lowest-ranking guy left. Right? I mean, this didn't have anyone else to put out there. So, yeah, I hope I mean, that looked like an ankle. They said it's an ankle, right? So at least it doesn't appear to be like knee related. But if that's a high ankle sprain or something, that could be the playoffs.
Right. If you believe them, that's right. At least they didn't call it a neck injury as he was limping off. You know, what would you do instead? Maybe just brave it with one regular offensive lineman or something. Always easier to say in retrospect. So 35-8. Bills over the Jets. They're going to Jacksonville. We don't know when the game will be played and probably will not know until tonight after the Ravens-Steelers game is over. Winner of tonight's game gets Houston in the wild card round, and the Chargers will visit New England in the other AFC game. NFC is all set as well. Green Bay at Chicago. Okay. San Francisco at Philadelphia. Pretty awesome.
That's pretty tasty, yeah.
The Rams will go to Carolina. And the Bills, next year, one of the fun things about the end of the regular season is next year's schedule, the Bills will play the Rams on the road, and the Rams have a game in Australia. So that's in the window.
Is that a Rams home game?
Yes.
Wow.
Australia is in the window after today.
Oh, my Lord.
Right?
You get like 3 weeks off after that, or what?
I don't know. Probably not three.
That's far.
Maybe
right? That's super far.
It's so far. We'll get to your calls next, as it's now on to the playoffs. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Bills 35, Jets 8. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Trubisky back to pass. Looking right. Now back to the left. Back to the middle. And Gabe Davis just mossed the defender for a 2-yard touchdown reception. He reached over him. Pulled the ball back, and Gabe Davis is having his biggest night since he put the Bills uniform back on this season.
That one of the four Mitch Trubisky touchdown passes, that one to Gabe Davis, as Chris Brown just told you. That's our New Era signature play of the game, which is brought to you by, well, New Era Cap, the official cap of Josh Allen and the NFL.
Gabe Davis revenge game next week? Or does he not dress? Who dresses at wide receiver next week? Brandon Cooks sat today. They got Coleman in. Didn't do a lot.
I'm putting Brandon Cooks back in for Coleman, and with Shakir and Palmer, like my five are those. Like, I think it's Cooks, it's Shakir,
Palmer.
Who am I losing here? What is wrong with me?
Shavers.
It's not that hard. Right, Shavers is.
That's important. That
yes.
Cover kicks.
Yes. He's played them all, kick coverage. So, yeah, Gabe Davis is among those five to me. Yeah. Coleman is clearly their sixth wide receiver.
Okay.
He got in because they wanted to protect Cooks, which says a lot about their receiving core.
I guess. Bills and Jaguars in the wild card round next week. Third ever postseason meeting between the teams. The Jaguars won here in the 90s very rudely. No one thought it was going to happen, and they just went and did it anyway. And then in 2017, the drought breaker, the first Bills playoff game under Sean McDermott, a 10-3 loss. So Bills 0-2 in the postseason against the Jaguars. Not worth a lot. We talked this week about the possibility of this matchup. It was the likeliest outcome. After today, we got it. And are the Bills favored, or will they be? Looks like yes, just like we thought. Barely.
Yeah, I think I even mentioned this on our show, our Buffalo show on Friday, that there was a few NFL look-ahead playoff lines, and a few teams even had multiple matchups, but the Bills only had one projected matchup, and it was Jacksonville, you know, in Jacksonville, of course, and that look-ahead line on FanDuel Friday afternoon was -1.5 Bills. So that was a sign then, and I don't think anything that happened today would change that. I think good job by us thinking they'd be favored there. I think it's the scariest matchup that there could have been here. I really think Jacksonville right now is the most well-rounded team in the field. I just think that their offense looks like it's in peak form here with a first-year head coach, and they've kind of gotten better as they've gone, and their defense has been serious. They have not given up a 100-yard rusher all year. The most rushing yards they've given up to a single running back anyway, I don't know about per game or as a team, but Jonathan Taylor had 74 yards in one of the meetings with the Colts against the Jaguars. So
and he didn't have that. That was against Houston today. Sorry.
Yeah, if the Bills can't run the ball, we've seen what happens. So I think this is a tough matchup.
What I disagree with there is I don't see Jacksonville really having the upside, as we talked about, as you said earlier this week. I don't think there's really anything that's very scary about them. They've played a pretty soft schedule. They haven't lost a game in a long time, so that's to their credit. But I don't know. I want to be okay with this, right? I mean, it was in the sense that New England basically controlled the division for the last 2 months plus. You know, with that in mind, it was kind of a trying year. Like, the Bills did get to their 12 wins. They cleared the bar, 12 and 5 in the end. But no home game here, no division title. And I think this is probably about the best I could ask for. I don't have Kansas City, of course. Although this year, maybe that wouldn't have been anything had they, you know, somehow won that division. I think Denver is a little more dangerous at home than Jacksonville is. I think New England is just better. So maybe not, but I'll take this. I mean,
I'm not curled up in a ball over it or anything, but, you know, of my preferences, of the three possibilities, this was the one I would have most liked to avoid myself. I think Denver is maybe a scarier, more intimidating trip, and there's more reputation there, and the defense is their calling card. I respect Jacksonville's offense way more than Denver's.
803-0550, getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Here's Justin with us. Hi, Justin.
Hey, how you guys doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, man. Go for it.
Awesome. Hey, guys, I've been a diehard fan listening to the hype and the heartbreak, WGR, since 2024 when I was attending UB. Just a full circle moment for me today in the most best and an emotional way. It was just literally one for the books. Took my 5-year-old son to his first Buffalo Bills game, the final game at Highmark Stadium against the Jets. But, you know, albeit we crushed them, that wasn't even the best part. I tried rounding up some friends and family to come along with me today, and nobody can make it, you know, life schedules, whatever. But to bring my little man, honestly, it was just ended in the most perfect way. I'm 41. My dad passed in 2023. He started bringing me to games when I was in elementary school. I have so many great memories at the Ralph, Rich Stadium, Highmark, New Era. And, you know, today I wore my dad's jersey that he wore when he brought me to games. You know, having worn that, just felt like I was passing on a tradition to my son. Just felt like my dad was right there with me. And, you know, just seeing my son's, you know, his eyes light up during the shout song and jumping in the cold and trying to stay warm. And Bills Mafia giving him high fives and knucks in the hallways. And after the Bills scored, it just hit different. It was just so awesome. And, you know, I appreciate everything about Highmark Stadium, the Ralph, the Rich, and whatever you want to call it. And while it feels like a chapter is changing, I'm just so looking forward to the future and, you know, what the team can do. And I just truly hope the Bills can get a Super Bowl, because Western New York deserves it. We all deserve it. Our kids deserve it. And tonight was just so special. Appreciate you guys and all right. All that you do and all the ups and downs, and thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Excellent job. You've set a very high bar for the show today.
That kid had better be well-behaved if he's going to be allowed in that place next year. It's going to be very different. You better wear a tie. I think I don't think we know what we're in for next year. It's just going to be so different, you know?
Yeah.
You better wash your hands. Let's go to Mike next. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to start off on a high note. It was great seeing the Bills win. The video tribute at the end, we were blowing them out. It was a half hour after the game ended, and the stadium was packed. It was emotional. It was great. But I think the administration dropped the ball. The coins, the towels, the posters that were supposed to be given out to every fan, thousands of fans, myself included, were left out with no sympathy. You try to talk to people, they just shrugged at you. And it was just kind of, you know, I was really looking forward to being at this last game. I had season tickets for 5 years. I've been to probably close to 100 games. I lived 10 minutes from the stadium. And they just didn't care. And it just hurt. You know, it hurt me, and I'm sad, and I was just offended about that. And I just wish, you know, I wish I had that stuff. It was a great game. It was an awesome end to the stadium. Like I said, I was there right to the very end, the fireworks, until we were getting shuffled out, and that was awesome. And it was emotional, but, you know, they could have done better there for the fans. They pay their money to go to the games, and we're just, you know, giving the cold shoulder.
All right.
I'm sorry to hear that you had that negative experience.
Mike didn't get his towel. 35-8, Bills over the Jets, on to the playoffs. Jacksonville in the first round next weekend. We don't know when yet, but we do know it will be the Bills and the Jaguars. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for being with us. Quick break. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Play clock down to 4. Here's the snap. Back to pass. Pressure coming. Steps up in the pocket, but he can't get away. He's wrapped up and dropped by T.J. Sanders.
He would be Brady Cook, Jets quarterback. The Jets really did pull off quite a feat this year. I read that from Football Perspective. That's Chase Stewart, who's a Jets fan, I believe, that they're the first team in the Super Bowl era to lose 5 straight by 21 points or more. I mean, not even competitive at all down the stretch. Possibly have 1 or 2 quarterbacks who are better. Well, they certainly do than Brady Cook, but whether they were healthy or not, I guess that's their secret. Just not anything there. Not anything
that
there.
That was one of the sorriest looking NFL team performances I've ever watched.
To go an entire season without one interception
is incredible.
When your coach is a cornerback, by the way, if that means anything, even if he was a kicker, I don't care. It's still amazing. Never happened before. Sean McDermott's press conference earlier was presented by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. To your calls again at 716-803-0550. We go to Andy next. Hello, Andy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Just want to talk a little bit about, want to give a shout out to Mitch Trubisky. Absolutely epic performance by him. Ray Davis, awesome game by him. And our stadium experience was absolutely, you know, unmatched. Just from the guys at the front door that were giving us our coins and our towels. Just what a great event and day by the Bills.
All right, thanks.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, coins and towels, again, important.
Yep.
Austin next, hello.
Hey, hey, fellas, thanks for the call. You know, coins and towels, obviously important, but just want to talk about that video at the end. They played lots of emotion in the crowd, definitely kept people around. You know, usually the worst part about the game is leaving, right? And I think this is a nice exception to that. We kind of took our time, enjoyed the end there, and kind of strolled out. It wasn't like you were elbowing everybody to get out. It was just kind of everybody was kind of taken in the moment, and it was really nice. And last thing I'll say to you is, I don't know if you talked about this before. Apologies, we were walking to the car, but Keon Coleman on the punt return, what's up with that? That's all I got, but thanks, fellas. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
what do you mean, what's up with that? Do you think they're trying him out? They're just... I'd be stunned if he dresses next week. They're just putting him out there because he's the next guy up because they didn't want to put Shakir out there, I think is what was going on there. So I don't think there's anything afoot with Keon Coleman. I think he'll be in street clothes next week.
Not like he did badly either. Just
no, it's just not. I just don't think anything has changed on his front with them. There's been no performance. I don't think things are much better behind the scenes either. With regard to how he's handling himself around the building and whatnot. So I think he's done here.
Derrick Henry just went for 36 yards on the first play. Oh, flag. Sorry. Wait a minute. hold that thought.
All right.
Baltimore took the opening kickoff at a decent return. They lost 20 yards on a flag on the return. And I don't know about this one, but...
And Cameron Hayward is rolling around on the ground.
Henry, I just, you know, it's an important game already, but James Cook wins the rushing title if Henry doesn't go for 152, and this is a penalty against Baltimore, so
yeah.
Don't panic out there. Katie is next. Hello.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. I kind of just wanted to give you my perspective, being somebody who grew up in Orchard Park. And being at the last game, just wanted to say that, you know, I'm 30 and grew up in a Bills family, but a family who never went to the games. My partner about 6 years ago, we got together and he's a diehard Bills fan, a diehard 550 fan, and being at the game tonight was absolutely magical. He not only taught me my love for the Bills, but taught me my love for the NFL. And I just thought that was very special and very important to share. So just wanted to share that with you guys.
Good. Okay, thank you. The penalty was on Flowers, looked a little weak, but he blocked the guy into Hayward.
Right, and Hayward is standing on the sideline, so I don't know if he's seriously hurt, but it looked like that could have been pretty scary.
Give Henry 25-ish for the play. So the winner of that game is the 4. They'll play Houston next week. The Bills will be off to Jacksonville. The Bills did not play Jacksonville this season. They have 2 playoff meetings in their history with the Jaguars, both losses. Jacksonville was here last year in Week 3, and the Bills blew them out. That's their last meeting. But they've had some complicated meetings with the Jaguars. The game in London the year before that was physically really bad for the Bills as they lost a couple of key men for a long time. Tonight, no problem. 35-8, Bills over the Jets. Mike Schoeb and the Bulldog here, getting connected with the fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. The Bills close out Highmark Stadium almost for certain tonight with a 35-8 win over the Jets. There is the chance that the AFC Championship game will be a 6-seed Bills versus 7-seed Chargers game, but don't hold your breath. I mean, it's possible. It's a wide-open tournament this year, so they're not going to tear the thing down this week, I would think, because of that possibility, but it's a long shot. Lots of fans. I mean, probably the vast majority leaving the stadium tonight, processing that it's their last time doing so, and thinking about, as we've been talking about a lot this week, their many, in most cases, many memories of the place. One such person would be Sal Capaccio, who was on the field for this game as the sideline reporter, and we don't often bring Sal on during the postgame show, but wanted to tonight because of the importance of the occasion. Sal, how did it feel?
They did it the right way. It felt good. It really did. You know, it was emotional when I got here today. It was tough, to be honest with you, like just talking with people and people being sad and, you know, seeing each other for, you know, maybe the last time. I know that the team's moving across the street, but, you know, these things change. But I think as the day went on, it was, kind of business as usual. And because the Bills won the way they did, it became a really good day. And I think at the end of the day, everybody did it right. And I'm really glad for that. It really turned out to be really nice today.
Bulldogs, I want to say one thing that Sal said during the week. We were talking earlier this week. I'm like, it's too bad it's sort of an anticlimax because the playoffs are out there in the future. And I don't know, it won't quite feel like an ending. But Sal said different. He's like, well, you can not worry about it, really, because they're not going to be eliminated here. Like, it's just sort of a day to sort of embrace it. And I think that's probably how it was for most people. So that's that sounds right now.
Yeah, I was going to say a similar
theme
to that, Sal. I was thinking of you as this game started getting out of hand, and talking with you on Friday about 51-3. And, you know, obviously the stakes are you know, worldly different. There's really no stake here. You're winning a road trip to Jacksonville with this win. You could have lost and got a road trip to New England instead, I suppose. So there wasn't, like, a celebration about the result, but it was a game that was tension-free in the way that the second half of that first AFC title game was. So I sort of had you in my head while I was watching this game unfold, feeling like fans are probably just enjoying the evening.
Yeah, I think the only thing that the only angst really came in, I think, of was when the reality set in that this was it. You know, like that, the game was going on. You kind of knew it's the last game, but as it wound down the fourth quarter, guys, like, you could kind of feel it in the air, like, people were really kind of the gravity of, okay, this is it. How do I end? What do I do? You knew at 2 minute mark they're going to play Mr. Brightside, and that was cool. And then, you know, one of the cooler things was, too, that nobody left.
Right.
And they played a montage. They played Goo Goo Dolls Iris with a montage of highlights inside the stadium. And they played Lee Greenwood and What a Wonderful World they played and fireworks. And it was just cool that it wasn't just the fans, right? The fans were in the stands and stayed and watched. A lot of players have only been here a few years. They stood on the field and they watched the video board and they took it all in. And that was really cool to see too.
Sal, before we let you go, how about the matchup? Jacksonville.
Yeah. I mean, you're playing the hottest team in the league right now, the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? And this is what the Bills have to do now because they did not win their own division. They have to go on the road. They have to play the hottest team in the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who once again today put up 41 points. You know, it's going to be a tough test for sure. I like the fact the Bills were able to stay as healthy as possible. But, guys, they have a kicker issue now again.
They have
a Max Harrison issue. And they have some fast receivers in Jacksonville that's going to be a cost not having Max Harrison if he isn't able to play. But in the meantime, I like the way the defense came together. And, guys, we're able to step up again today. I know it's the Jets, but this defense has played well the last several weeks. They had guys who came in today that don't get a lot of reps that played really well today. I like that. And, you know, the other thing about Jacksonville, I think, is it's a first-time head coach. It's more inexperienced quarterback. He does have a little experience in the playoffs. So, you know, how are they going to handle the moment? I think that's going to be a big thing this week.
You think Badgley comes back, or would they not do that?
I do not think so. I think it'll be somebody else. They'll probably bring in a few guys this week and see. By the way, if Prater can't go, it could have been more precautionary than anything. We'll find out more tomorrow.
Right. Thanks for fitting us in, Sal.
You got it, guys. Have a good night.
All right. Sal Capaccio joining us. The Bills over the Jets, 35-8. Let's get to Mike here. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
Great. Thank you, Mike.
I was just wondering, maybe they could have gave Cook a couple extra carries, try to pad the title a little bit. I know you want to save him for the playoffs and all, but just that Henry's going to go tonight. He just needed him probably by now a little over 140, and he's going to get the ball 40 times tonight. So what do you guys think?
I don't know. I sympathize with McDermott and what he said about it, which seems totally fair. Like, if I get him hurt, they're all over me.
Yeah, I mean, I can only care so much. You know, they gave him a shot. I thought it was interesting that McDermott did admit that he had thought initially the first quarter, and then as it got closer, it was like, yeah, no, that's enough.
Yeah.
I have no problem pulling a guy out. I mean, I hope Cook gets the rushing title. It seems to mean a lot, certainly to the player and to his teammates, his linemen especially, but there's only so much you can do. I mean, the bigger prize is what's coming starting next week, and I can't be fooling around with that.
I liked McDermott on the subject in the press conference. He's like, I probably am not much of a gambler. And he just sort of, in my mind, I'm envisioning like a friend who doesn't go to the casino, sitting down to play blackjack and cashing in for $100 in chips and winning the first hand for 10 bucks. Like, I'm done.
Right.
I've got my 10%
ROI. I'm walking
ROI.
Out of here with,
I'm done. Get me out of here. I'm going home a winner, baby. Let's go to Tom next. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. What I'm asking right now is specifically towards Bulldog is
good.
I guess I'm in the same camp, and I'm looking at it going, is Jacksonville our worst matchup? And if we look back at their successes throughout the season, is there anything they've done throughout the season that would have us thinking, oh, the Bills couldn't have done that or wouldn't match up well against that?
I mean, I think mostly it's that their defense has been as good as any team that I think the Bills will play outside of Houston this year. And they've done a great job on running backs and running games, and I think we've seen the Bills' offense really struggle when they can't get their 6 or 7 yards on first down running the ball with James Cook. So I think this is a tough matchup with that in mind. I respect the Jaguars' talent on offense. I think this is a passing game with skill players and a quarterback that will put this great pass defense the Bills have had statistically this year to the test. So I just think it's the most well-rounded team in the pool right now. That's why I would have feared them the most.
But I don't really know, maybe more with the caller here, as I have said earlier tonight, like I just don't know what to be that afraid of. Maybe they don't have weaknesses. Maybe they don't have strengths. I don't know. Like we'll dive in, right? Like what Lawrence is and what their passing game really has been. Brian Thomas did not have a good season. Right now, their number one guy seems to be somebody named Parker Washington.
Yep.
Brenton Strange. Like, this is the Jaguars' offense. Travis Hunter got hurt, never mattered. Myers is good, but he's sort of a fit in my mind with the Jaguars as just somebody that does, you don't dislike him, but I shouldn't lose. He's not Puka. Like, he's not somebody that I have to worry about going off on me because he never goes off.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't disagree with much of that either. Like, I don't know what they're great at, but I also don't know what they're bad at. I feel like they're just, I said it, I think they're the most well-rounded team in the pool. And that worries me. Even New England, as well-coached and prepared and as little as I would expect New England to beat themselves, I like the skill players more on Jacksonville. Not the quarterback, but the overall team, and I respect that defense more. So I think the Bills have got their hands full on both sides of the ball.
Interesting how like the big narrative will be how the Bills have this is their chance because there isn't Mahomes
right.
Or even Burrow. But if I'm Lawrence, I'm looking at this like, wow, what an opportunity I've got here playing at home. I mean, some familiarity with the Bills. What a chance really from either side of this. Bills and Jaguars next weekend in the wild card round. We'll find out when. Later on tonight, Baltimore and Pittsburgh underway, Sunday Night Football. The Ravens up on their first drive, 7-0. A Lamar Jackson touchdown pass to Tez Walker. Next, we'll hear from Mitchell Trubisky. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. The Bills send off Highmark Stadium. Easily beating the Jets tonight, 35-8, onto the playoffs. Jacksonville will be the Bills' wild card opponent next weekend. Let's get to the locker room. Mitch Trubisky had a great day filling in for Josh Allen after one play. Trubisky and his comments brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
What's up? How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So, Mitch, just tell us what was the atmosphere like, and you know, you getting the nod on this final farewell game right here.
It was awesome. I mean, the fans showed out as usual. Bills Mafia, the best fans. It was a fun night. We're just trying to stay focused on like giving them a good show, executing well, and putting points on the board. The guys did a great job rallying all week, and we just really wanted to perform well one last time in the stadium for them. And the atmosphere was special. They started to play slow music at the end there. I had to get off the field. It was pretty cool. It was awesome.
And I mean, you know, this is your second stint here, and you know, this is the final game in this stadium. So, what are the emotions for you like? You know, I mean, just being here.
I'm just grateful for this opportunity. I mean, all glory to God for giving us just this opportunity to play this game, bringing me and my family to Buffalo to experience these fans, these teammates in that locker room. It's just a special place to be, and you really don't understand it until you get here. And that's why I wanted to come back, to be a part of something special and bigger than myself. So just to go out there one more time, execute with the boys, have some fun, and put on a show, it was a fun night.
Mitch, what does it do for guys who don't normally get as much time to play to have a week like this to get reps before the playoffs?
For sure. I think it's huge for development and just like overall confidence of the team. You see the next guy step in and perform well. I mean, a bunch of O-linemen play tonight, a bunch of guys on defense, wideouts, running backs mixing in. I think it just builds confidence throughout the team. And I just saw a lot of excitement for guys who knew they were getting the nod and getting called upon to just go even harder in practice, lock into the game plan, and really put a good performance out there for the squad.
Sean was pretty coy with us, at least, about who would be playing this week or how much you would be playing mm-hmm. there. When did you have a good sense of how much you'd be playing today?
Pretty much like when I was taking all the reps in practice Wednesday and Thursday, I had a good idea of it. And I kind of knew that was how it was going to go. So I had a pretty good idea. They told me I was going to play a good bit. I thought it was smart what we did with Josh, allow him to rest, and I think it's important that he keeps those that start streak going, which is pretty cool. And I just love being his teammate. And so I just figured out throughout the week how it kind of was going to go, and the coaches did a great job of communicating like what that plan was going to look like.
What did you want to show on a personal level today?
Just that I could execute this offense and really just show my teammates that I can come in there and make plays for this offense and just run it. So I just wanted to lead the guys today and put on a good performance for the fans. And I thought it all started with preparation throughout the week. And really the guys just having confidence in me to go out there and let me play my game.
There's still like, I don't know, 75% of the stadium is still out there right now.
Yeah.
Can you put into words just what it was like to be a part of this game in this moment?
I think those last three victory kneels to end the game was probably like the coolest like victory kneels I've been a part of. The fans were going nuts. It's kind of just soaking it all in. I thought it was really cool, and it's, you just can't duplicate that. You can't, it's, there's just so many memories and everything wrapped into the stadium. I think it just means a lot to everybody involved. And it was good to go out the way we did tonight.
During the week, you're preparing for the Jets. Are you able to kind of look at some possible matchups with different playoff teams as well?
No, we were really just focused on the Jets and the game plan, the job at hand. So we're really just locked into that, and we'll find out who we play shortly, I'm sure, and when and where, and we'll go from there.
Not a sack, not a pressure. Just kind of talk about, you know, your center in 62 and how well he was out there.
Yeah, Seth did a great job of communication all week. I mean, he was locked in. We are excited to go. Me and him have a great connection, and it was great communication from blitz pickup to going through all the run game and everything. Those guys up front, I mean, they did a great job for me tonight. Kept me clean, and, I mean, I couldn't be more thankful for them that they go out and perform the way they did, so I could just go back there and throw the ball. So they're, I love those guys, and they played their tails off tonight.
22-yard pass to Reggie Gilliam. How fun was that to get him in a big play like
that? That was awesome. I mean, Reggie does so many things for this team, special teams, blocking, can run the ball, catch the ball. He's a special athlete, and it was nice to get him an explosive catch down the field. I heard the fans chanting for him in the red zone. We were trying to get him one, but when you got the fans chanting your name, the defense kind of knows what's coming a little bit. So he's just an incredible teammate. And whatever you ask him to do, he's going to go out there and give you 110%. He's a special player for this team.
You got to talk about that first touchdown to Dawson Knox. Maybe Dawson might take you out to dinner.
He might. He might. We'll see about that. Yeah, it'll be a real nice steak.
The Jets have gone all season without an interception. Was that something you knew going into this game, something you thought about at all?
Yeah, somebody said that throughout the week, and it was kind of like when a pitcher's throwing a no-hitter, you shouldn't mention that. And I was just like, man, you can't say that for the last one. But I just wanted to go out there, protect the ball as always, be smart, find our playmakers. And just going back to the guys blocking up front, it just allowed me to go out there and find completions the way they were giving me time and protecting me.
Was it the red helmets?
Those are sweet, aren't they? There was something special about it. It's just the nostalgia. Being in the stadium, looking like the old Bills, It was pretty sweet. So I was a big fan of him all week, looking at him, and it felt pretty special.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Mitchell Trubisky. Assume he'll be back on the bench next week as the Bills face the Jaguars in the wild card round. Look forward to previewing that game all week here on WGR. Thanks for listening tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Again, the final, Bills 35, Jets 8. Happy New Year. This is Buffalo Bills football.